Members of the Illinois State University Wonsuk Kim School of Art faculty have exhibited their work nationally and internationally. But for the next several weeks, their work is on display right down the street from the campus. University Galleries Director and Chief Curator Kendra Pates says the gallery staff is pleased to be able to showcase the work of 37 faculty artists, and that this show has the widest variety of approaches and mediums ever featured in a faculty biennial.
We have a lot of tech-based pieces. We have a lot of interactive works. So most of these works were not created to go together, so that's part of the challenge in laying out.
Okay, I'm wondering how you managed to do that, because here we are in the gallery that faces the street, and this has a bit of a theme going on in here.
This room does. So we've brought together works by Melissa Oreski, Laura Promozik-George, Randy Reed, and Jam Rohr. They're all dealing with these organic subject matters, thinking about plant life. There are plants repeated throughout. There are a variety of materials. We have wood, lead, silver, concrete.
And we have a coffin.
We have a coffin. This is by Jam Rohr. And then as you look down into it, there are some
constructed flowers. Oh.
And Jam will be giving a talk next week, too. So as part of the exhibition, we invited faculty to participate in a variety of ways, whether through talks, performances, showing their works, doing demos. And so, you know, this is a large piece. This is 5 feet long. And we have to think about not only how the works flow together, but one of our two large galleries, we have to keep free, really, of three-dimensional work because we host lectures and receptions, and we'll be hosting a pop-up exhibition for the Image of Research competition. And we have a few really large pieces. So we typically start building the show based on special needs of works, whether it's low lighting, needing a projection space, needing kind of a large footprint on the floor. But Melissa Oreski has been making her collages and paintings, and she has this accordion book, really thinking about not just the form of plants, but she's been trying to engage with how plants think, and she's been doing a lot of reading about this. So it's really exciting to find these connections among the works that weren't made to be put together, these hard edges, these soft edges, these actual natural materials versus these constructed materials made to reference nature. One of the galleries is completely interactive.
Ooh, let's go take a look.
So we're excited about that. We have several field trip groups coming in during the course of the exhibition. And we were thinking, well, wouldn't this be great if an entire room they go in, they can touch everything. They can interact with it. So we have two different areas, and they're painted differently because they have some low light needs. So then we can say to these groups, the black rooms, you can actually touch the works in. So there's an installation by Ladin Bamni, who's on our graphic design faculty, where people will actually type onto a computer keyboard, and it will change what they're seeing on the projection screen. We have these circuit building projects that Kelly Gross, who's on our art education faculty, that she did with her students, and she'll have research posters about those and project statements from the students. We have this interactive installation by Taekyum Lee, who's here working right now.
Yes. Well, let's go take a look. Oh, wow. This is beautiful.
Thank you.
What is this called?
It's all 3D printed. It's kind of modular design, so I'm spelling letters with the pieces. So I have 100 of those, so cool. People can spell something and write something on it, and then definitely they can take photos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So people can come in here, take your art, and personalize their own art.
Yep, absolutely. They can manually, I just call it manual pixeling, so these pieces are cold and kind of pixels, so they can put those things manually, and then they can take photo. I have 100 of those, and they're all printed with corn-based plastic, like 3D printed. And each of them take about 3 hours, so like total printing time is about...
That took practically a year to do.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And what inspired this?
So I'm a graphic designer. I'm teaching graphic design and typography, and I infused 3D printing into my practice, so I've been actively and intensively working with 3D printing and typography. And like sometimes I design some object or modules, and it can be part of you know, my practice, and especially for typography. Yeah.
Are you excited about other people coming in here and sort of imprinting themselves?
Absolutely, because when I designed this one, as you can see, like I imagine certain shape and then I spell something and then rearrange things or manually pixeling things. But I want to see how people rearrange these things, and then I'm sure they're going to find a different use for this object item.
Are you going to come in here regularly and maybe just take pictures and sort of...
I'm going to do that.
Yeah. You got to document that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for sharing this.
Thank you.
So let's move into the big, well, if it were sunny, it would be sunny in here, gallery, the big window gallery.
John Miller will be back in a few minutes. He's installing one of his diner booths.
Literally, it's a diner booth, red leather at or vinyl seats.
Right. Yes. So he has collected these actually from businesses that were here in Bloomington Normal. So part of this is from the original Dog and Suds.
Oh, I thought it looked familiar.
So then he'll install the table. He's just left to pick up the food. So he has these large...
By food, it's glass, because he's a glass artist.
Right. So these large, you know, a 25-pound glass hamburger. And there will be a neon sign installed on the wall above it that says eat.
How appropriate.
You know, it's just really exciting that so many of the artists decided to participate, and we're using technology in such a wide variety of ways.
Recently, the university started a game design major. Do you have anybody who's teaching in that who is bringing something on board here?
We do have faculty members who are teaching in that. On these two iPads, we have a work by Sir John St. John, who is teaching in our creative technologies department. This work is generating phrases, so he's using these algorithms. There's a statement that he's written that will accompany them that explains what's happening, but essentially each of these phrases is something that's unique, that will never be generated again.
One day, when had the moon before thy most pure bitterness still made the rocks of rainbow, the false motions of day, and now it's fading away and it's gone forever.
And it's gone forever. So you sort of get your own phrase that can function as a prompt for your own story or your own setting for your own game. We'll have Roy Magnuson will be doing a demo of his Solstice VR virtual reality music composition software at the reception. So that will be just for the few hours of the reception. We'll have a performance by Shoshin Trio, which features Matthew Smith, who's on our creative technologies faculty. We have these huge works by James Mai, you know, who's focused on color theory and perception. When we were first meeting with the artists about this exhibition and talking about all of the possibilities and inviting everybody to participate, usually we have pretty solid participation, but we really tried to open it up to say, hey, you can use this however it's most useful for you. If you want to try a talk you've never done before, you want to give a performance, you want to show a research poster. We realize not everybody is making a physical object as part of their research. But when we started getting the list of everybody who was confirming they were going to participate, we actually got a little stressed out wondering how we were going to fit everything in this space. But as we started laying out the exhibition, we were thrilled to realize that we could allot, you know, a reasonable amount of space to the works. We were afraid they were going to be jammed together. And so for Jim Mai's work that we're looking at here, it was really exciting to realize, oh, we can leave all of this white space around these works so that you can really focus in on them, you can look at the relationship between them, you have some empty wall next to it if you want to look at the after image of them. Thinking about the flow through the rooms too, we're trying to vary which mediums are represented. You know, we don't want to have all the paintings together and all the photographs together. Or trying not to put two works next to each other that might project content onto the work next to it that's not there.
That sounds challenging.
It's challenging, but it's fun. You know, we love problem solving. There were a few moments on the first day of layout that we thought, like, oh, how is this going to come together in a way that serves all of the works and all of the artists well and does justice to them and keeps the exhibition really dynamic.
That's University Galleries Director and Chief Curator Kendra Pates. The faculty biennial is up through March 22nd. I'm Laura Kennedy.